Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Ladies and gentlemen, a little bonus episode this week, joined by, I don't know what to call it, kind of the Dana White co-founder of Fight League Atlantic, the FLA, a MMA league held in Atlanta, Canada, Derek Clark. Derek, how are we doing today, man? Big fights this weekend in Windsor, Nova Scotia, FLA 9. How you feeling? You ready to go for this weekend?
Am I ever? What's up, my man? How's things on your end? Ready to go.
Things are fantastic, and I was telling you before we got rocking and rolling here that I'm excited. I mean, I think it's exciting for sports fans. I think the MMA, you know, we talk about it on the podcast all the time about how fast it's growing in the sports world and how you know, great of a job that the UFC is doing. But it's nice to see kind of these, you know, smaller leagues, these more boutique leagues that are feeder leagues into the professional higher level leagues, you know, established and give opportunity to fight fans around, you know, these smaller pockets around, you know, not only Canada, but around the world to watch fighting. So I'm really excited about watching. I've never been to a live event on Saturday night in Windsor. But Derek, just talk about your background in MMA. You know, how did you get into fighting? What is your experience in the MMA world?
So myself, I started training jiu-jitsu. Well, I started training kickboxing way back in about 2005 in Toronto, just like cardio classes, that kind of thing. And then I had to be completely honest, I did not like getting punched in the face. I wasn't really much for that kind of thing. So I somehow transitioned when I moved home. I transitioned into jiu-jitsu, and I've been training jiu-jitsu ever since. I'm a black belt under Jared McIntosh in Pictou County Jiu-Jitsu, and I got my black belt in 2019. But MMA wise, I'm not much of an MMA fighter by any means. Like, you know, again, I've trained lots and sparred lots and put in lots of hard rounds, but I don't call myself a fighter by any means. I have a ton of respect for all these athletes that get in there and do what they're doing. So, but it's a martial art. I love it. much like John, my business partner, who you also know, it's about, for us, giving back and being involved in the sport and in it, not necessarily fighting, but you know, in a different way. And like you said, these smaller leagues really give a big developmental platform to these athletes who want to get to the next level.
So just briefly, how many years, how long does it take to get your black belt in jiu-jitsu? Because you hear the different rankings and belts, but you know, the black belt's obviously the most prestigious title in jiu-jitsu. How long did it take? How long was that road? How many hours of training? You know, tell us a little bit about that road.
Yeah, it was a long road for sure. Like probably 2008, I started late 2008. And so, you know, 11 years to get my black belt. And I was a guy who trained, you know, probably 3 to 5 times a week, sometimes 6, 7 times a week through my career. But everybody's different. There's people who can get a black belt in 3 to 4 years, depending on their skill level and their ability, how they're competing, if they're winning, and if they're training 3, 4 times a day. And like these bigger cities, like in the States, you have places like San Diego, and Austin, Texas is a place that's blown up for jiu-jitsu lately. New York City, in these places where it's actually professional jiu-jitsu athletes. So it's pretty cool, man. It's a neat thing to see, but it's been a long road, and my body is certainly paying the price.
Well, I mean, it's an incredible accomplishment, so congratulations. But I guess just finally on the jiu-jitsu topic, in regard to, you know, I'm not an MMA specialist by any means, but in regard to jiu-jitsu, you know, what are the biggest strengths of you know, if say an MMA fighter, their strength is in jiu-jitsu, they're going into the UFC and they have a jiu-jitsu background, what are their strengths? What should you look for from a fighter with a strong jiu-jitsu background? What are their strengths in the octagon?
So again, that's a great question. In the octagon or cage, the whole idea of mixed martial arts, it's utilizing all different weapons, all different martial arts coming together to meet in that cage to see who is the better man or woman that particular night in that particular fight. So you know, as a jiu-jitsu fighter, your whole goal is to get the opponent to the ground, obviously, and submit them. It's pretty simple, but very difficult.
Yeah.
That's why you see in MMA, a wrestler is extremely successful, because a really, really high level wrestler can get you down, hold you down, and really do a lot of damage with their elbows or ground and pound and that kind of thing. So, but the game's always evolving, and jiu-jitsu, it's becoming like, I don't want to say less and less of threat, but really, really well-rounded grappling is important, not necessarily really, really slick submissions, I guess. So.
Yeah. One fight that comes to mind, Derek, I don't know if you remember it, but it was the Brian Ortega versus Alexander Volkanovsky. And Ortega, I couldn't believe he didn't submit him. It was just unbelievable. He had him right on the, it seemed like, you know, there was just no way he was getting out of it, But those are two fantastic fighters. That's for another time. But listen, talk about Fight League Atlantic. You know, how did the Fight League start? You know, what did you and John, did you sit down and say, listen, we've got to create a league to give these Atlantic fighters an opportunity to showcase their stuff. We got to, you know, formulate a league that can feed into other leagues. And what is that process like? You know, who do you got to talk to? Because I'm assuming that, you know, you can't just say, yeah, we're hosting fights in Windsor, Nova Scotia this week and come out to watch. You know, what is that? What does this entail in terms of, you know, getting this thing set up and running a fight for fans to come in and watch?
Another very good question. It's funny. I always kind of often say that like that's really content that people really should see. Today I was sitting at work, and the guy I was working with was like, "What are you doing?" And I'm like, "I'm making the FLA 10 ticket map." And he's like, "You have to do it that way." And on the ticket map, after I make the ticket map, I have to literally assign every seat. So I have to go through the 1,000 seats and click every one and assign it. And it's just stuff like that that people never see, right? And the process, anyway, going back to how it started, Johnny and I both, you know, guys in the community have done a lot of jiu-jitsu tournaments and events. And so I started doing this in 2014, doing like submission only jiu-jitsu events. So we would bring like in Diego Sanchez and like UFC kind of stars to compete against local black belts here. And we would do jiu-jitsu tournaments, and John would do jiu-jitsu tournaments down here. And then we became buddies, and we just kind of said to ourselves, like, why don't we try this? Like, no, like, it would, like, there's another company that's doing it, but we wanted to kind of take a different approach to it and try it out and see what we could do. And, you know, it's been incredible. It's been an incredible ride up and down. Like, our first event was February 8th, 2020. And then we all know what happened, like, literally
a few months later. Yeah.
It was crazy. Yeah. So we went through, we lost our main event in our first card, and then we had COVID. Then our third card we planned was canceled 2 weeks later. And then last year we had the hurricane cancel our event in Pictou. So it's been like a lot of really like early, early hard lessons that are really paying dividends now, because everything's become so easy for us now that COVID and all these things are in the back seat, right?
Absolutely. You know, what a time to form a league. So in terms of, you know, I guess legislation, or I shouldn't say legislation, but in terms of the governments and you know, maybe the sports federations, like, who did you have to get in contact with and say, listen, we're starting this league, and this is how it's going down?
Yeah, that's I kind of didn't answer your question in the first place, so my apologies. Yeah, the government. So the Nova Scotia Combat Sports Commission.
Okay.
Chairman Hugh McDonald, Director of Combat Sports, Hubert Earl, they're in charge of it. They do a great job kind of regulating the sport. So it's, if you kind of look at it like as a bar owner, you'd have a liquor license or a liquor inspector.
That's right.
For what we're doing here. All of our athletes they need to be medically cleared and licensed by the government. So, you know, 10 types of blood work. They need EKGs. They need MRIs in certain cases. Eye tests, full physicals, chest x-rays. So the protocol are really in place. And on top of that, we on our end just have to have a lot of, you know, licensing and insurance and all that kind of stuff in place on our end too. It's like you said, it's not just, hey, we're going to line up a fight in Windsor, Nova Scotia and put this together. It's just, you have to really, really dot your I's and cross your T's, because if people get hurt or whatever the case, you know, God willing, that doesn't happen, but it's possible. So you're putting on a fight event, two people are getting a huge fighting. So you have to be prepared for anything in this business. And let me tell you, we are now.
Absolutely. No, I'm thrilled that that it's coming to, you know, Windsor, Nova Scotia, and for the Annapolis Valley folks that reside here. I know we're extremely excited, but, you know, talk about where the FLA falls in the MMA pyramid. So obviously at the top of the pyramid, you'd have your Bellators and your UFCs, but, you know, where does the FLA fall, and maybe where's the goal and the direction of Fight League Atlantic as we kind of, you know, continue on into 2023 and years to come?
So, UFC, obviously, Upper Echelon, Bellator, PFL, Risen, ONE FC, all those kind of companies are, you know, big companies. And then you have, on the lower end, you have, or not lower end, but like second tier, I guess you'd have companies more so like, we're just kind of getting to that second tier now. Our video production, again, like you say, how do you put these events together? Our staff is 50 deep, not including the commission. So we have like, we run all our own tickets. That's something that we had to learn during COVID because there's no staff. All these venues that were used, they don't have staff. So we had to learn to make our own ticket maps, sell our own tickets off apps on our phones. We do all our own lighting, sound, our pay-per-view, all that streaming is stuff that we've learned through the years. So a lot of kind of stuff in-house. But it's – anyway, I kind of tailed off there again.
No, it's, you know, so where does, I mean, in regard to, you know, where the FLA sits in the pyramid, the hierarchy of the MMA world, obviously you said it kind of moved up into the tier two, but as you continue to grow, you know, where do you want this thing to go?
Yeah, again, like we make no bones about, like, we're not going to ever compete with any of these brands. You know, we're a local company. We're proud to be a local company. I think that's what people don't really understand just yet. As soon as you come to our events, I think people are like, oh, wow. Like, I hear it all the time. As soon as people even walk in the venue, they're like, what? Like, this is in my hometown. This is crazy. Because until you experience it, it gives me goosebumps thinking about it. Because, like, you walk in, the lights are there, the cage is there. It's like, man, I've never been to a UFC before. And now this is exactly what I imagine it would be. Not some shitty little, just a ring and that's it. You know what I mean? It's 2023 and we're giving the people what the people want. And that's really high-level production and really, really good fights to match. So we would eventually love to be another one of those organizations where we're feeding the UFC. You know, we're on UFC Fight Pass. Like, you know, that's where fighters want to be. They want to be on UFC Fight Pass. But we're doing great pay-per-viewing right now. But definitely we want to be one of those premier feeding organizations to the upper organizations for sure.
Absolutely. And I think that, you know, you have to think, obviously it's a global sport and that's something that is very advantageous for the sport of fighting. I mean, we see it all around the world. The talent is global. But you have to think that, you know, if we can continue to grow the sport and, you know, you have to, you know, you'd like to think that there should be some, you know, Canadian talent be able to get to that, you know, UFC, Bellator. And one name that comes to mind is Gavin Tucker. I'm thinking he's, you know, he's injured right now, but I know, you know, there is some Canadian talent in the UFC now. But in terms of matchmaking, or I guess we'll go to recruitment. So, you know, there's gyms, you know, spread out across Atlantic Canada and the different, like we talked about, little pockets and little towns, you know, jiu-jitsu gyms and MMA gyms. Yeah. Does the talent sign up? Do you talk to coaches from these different gyms? You know, how do people say, listen, I want to fight on a card in FLA?
Another great question. A big thing for us is like, again, I've been doing it a long time. So you have a lot of these connections with guys like Gavin, like, you know, Gavin, I've known for like 10 plus years. Right. So hopefully he's going to be fighting again soon, by the way. I don't know anything about that, but hopefully he will. But yeah, so you can register on our site, but more so we have a ton of connections. I know a lot of the gym owners locally and in Canada. It's kind of like a big world, but really a small world. One of those kind of niche sports where not everybody knows everybody, but once you're in this deep, you definitely know everybody. But athletes can go on our website and register. We have a registration on our website. We've got athletes from all over the world constantly contacting us, looking to compete from Brazil, Africa, the States, all over Canada. So, you know, that's one big thing. But for us, it's about having the skill level. We don't just want regular, and this is going to sound awful, but we want people in that cage who deserve it and people who really earned the right, like to put in the time. Their coach has... that at the end of the day, like, we can put the matches together, but from an amateur and pro level, coaches, managers, these people who are with these athletes every single day are the people that are really in their ear and making the decisions for the right fight, for the right career. So we want these people, we want talented athletes, people who have been training for like a minimum 2 years. so they know what they get in there. If they're not, you know, again, people can get hurt. We want the product to match the production. So everything about it is about, you know, impressing our crowd, fans, and we want our fans to come back. And it's kind of a weird mix because you want your fans to come back. And then the other side, you want the UFC and all these other people to notice you too. So it's like a constant, like, you're in the middle in a lot of ways, for sure.
Absolutely. And listeners, if you don't trust Derek in terms of production quality, and if you're not buying that Atlanta, Canada can put on a good show, go check out the YouTube channel. It's phenomenal. I've been watching the last few cards on YouTube, and it really is. It looks phenomenal, and they do put on an absolute fantastic show. But Derek, just continuing on, in past fights, you know, this is going to be the ninth event that you put on. You know, who are some names that have fought in the past cards, or who are some names that maybe the listeners should, you know, take note of that might be fighting on FLA 9 or in the past, you know, have fought in the league and, you know, might be making a little bit of noise down the road at the higher levels?
Yeah, it's funny you say that, because this card is a lot of people have told us it's our best card to date. And it's funny because we've had lots of other cards with bigger names, you could say, some like with a lot more pro fights or that kind of thing from other locations. But this is really a card with a lot of homegrown talent, athletes who have really competed for us for a long time, and a lot of really, really talented local athletes kind of making that jump. So like in the main event, you have Drake Farrell. Drake Farrell's been competing for me specifically in jiu-jitsu for almost like probably 10 years, 8 to 10 years, since he was like 15 years old. He's a two-time Fight League Atlanta Kumite. When we would do our absolute grappling tournaments, when the COVID was on, we couldn't do MMA events, so we would do jiu-jitsu events. He blew through two of those events and just destroyed everybody. He just won our amateur 170-pound title, and now he's making his pro debut against a super colorful and super raw and talented guy, Big Red Matt McDonald. He's a pretty funny character, man. He loves to get in there and get dirty, and wants to always loves a good scrap. So these two are really two funny good guys. You got Cam Nelson on the card. He's like a guy that we're really, you know, impressed with. He's been doing really, really well. 3-0 as an amateur. Killed it and did really, really well in his pro debut. Took out Braden Simon. You have Maria Clinton making her pro debut against Riley Marchand from Vancouver. At 115 pounds for the females, that's a fight that very well could be in the contender series or something like that. Two girls that are really not far to getting to that next level in the female side of the sport. It's the talent pool at that weight class is a little bit smaller, so you can move up a little bit quicker, and they're both super talented girls. And the last one I will mention is Luc de Saint Croix. He's a local kid here, number one ranked lightweight in Canada at the amateur level, and he's fighting AJ Market, who's number two. So he's coming in from Calgary, and they're going to scrap it out for the amateur title. So, yeah, really excited.
That's awesome. So, yeah, like you said, I mean, on the card, we've got a title fight. So I guess you're going to have to explain this to me. So you can have amateur fights on the card and as well as professional fights on the card. Is that something, or are they all amateur fights? So what, you know, in regard to professional and amateur under the umbrella of those titles, FLA puts on both or just amateur or professional?
We do both. Correct. Okay. Yeah. So yeah. We do a lot of like pro am shows. Sometimes like we've done like all amateur shows before. You know, when you're getting into pro, you know, you're paying athletes money, you're flying athletes in from, you look at this card, we have athletes come, so every athlete comes with a coach. So we have an athlete from Mexico and a coach, we have an athlete from Calgary and a coach, athlete from Vancouver and a coach, athlete from Toronto and a coach. So there's four flights right there. Our main commentator, John Morgan, he comes from Las Vegas. There's a lot of costs that people really have. It's just crazy amount to go into this kind of stuff. But yeah, the pro and amateur fights, it's cool because you start with the amateur fights at the beginning of the night. And there's a thing called like novice amateur rule set. And some people don't like it, but to be honest, I love it. So if you have no fights, it's a novice rule set. So you cannot punch or strike on the ground. Once the fight hits the ground, it's like jiu-jitsu only. You can punch to the body, that kind of thing. So, and the whole idea is that, like, you don't want to just get on the ground and just someone, like, posture up and just, like, beating your head off the ground, right? Because yep. The whole idea is if on the ground, like you can take a punch standing up, but if your head hits the back of that canvas, there's no give. And that's where concussions and damage really comes from, you know? So they really try to avoid that. And then as you get three fights as an amateur, you can start doing ground and pound, like punches. And then as you move into pro, you can elbow on the ground. You can, you know, knee to the head, all those kind of things.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
And as the night progresses like that, which is cool. So you have amateur, advanced amateur, and then pro.
You get into the pro. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So I guess for the people who are getting ready to stream it, Derek, it starts at 7 p.m. and then it continues on into the night. But it's all just under the umbrella of one card. And like you said, it kind of starts in the amateur realm and then continues up into the professional fight. So the main event of the night, is it those two females of Riley Marchand and Maria Clinton? Is that the main event? Or is the Drake Farrell, Matt McDonald the main event?
Yeah, Drake Farrell, Matt McDonald, main event. Cam Nelson, Irving Molina from Mexico is the co-main event.
Cool.
Maria is the third pro. And then shout out to, I never mentioned, but this kid is another super talented kid, Abdelaziz, a grappling phenom who's making his pro debut too. Really excited for that kid to get into the pro. He's a Gavin Tucker protege.
Amazing. No, that's incredible.
Gavin will be there in fine form, man. He'll be coaching. He's got four or five guys in the card, so he'll have a busy night.
Yeah, I can imagine. No, that's incredible. I mean, obviously, all of Nova Scotia, all of Atlantic Canada should be, you know, tuning in and aware that, you know, we're putting on such great product here. But just finally, let's just talk about a few of the fights before I let you go, Derek, before we move on. Charlene Barkhouse, obviously, product of the Annapolis Valley. Is she going to begin the night versus Amanda Ferreira? You know, obviously, this is an... So sure, I'm looking on SureDog, and so SureDog's kind of my UFC. That's my MMA kind of go to, and that's where they have it lined up. But I know Charlene's fighting against Amanda Ferreira. What should we expect from the Annapolis Valley talent of Charlene Barkhouse? What does she bring to the table, and you know what does her opponent bring to the table?
She's tough, man. I'll throw back to a funny story about Charlene back at one of these jiu-jitsu shows I did, and it was like an eight. Female bracket, I think, was like $1,000. And there were one name that came in. She's from New Jersey. Her name's Amanda Levy. And she actually fights in the PFL now, the MMA PFL. And she's beat like Gabby Garcia in like a submission only fight. Like she's a beast and super tough. Anyway, Charlene got her drawn in the first round. And I was sitting there, and these are back in the days, I was working the goddamn camera. And I was sitting here on the side of the mat, and the girl kind of like went to like get a, like a Kimura. And as she went to fish for the arm, she elbowed Charlene square in the nose. The noise that came out of her nose was still to this day. I was like, oh, like it just made me want to cry.
Exploded.
And she didn't even flinch. No blood, no nothing. She didn't even flinch. She just continued on like a warrior. So ever since that day, I've had an incredible amount of respect for Charlene. Obviously, she comes from John's gym, which is a great gym too, great people. So she's a wonderful girl, man, and a great grappler. So I assume that's – I don't know their game plan, but I assume that's probably where they're going to want to take the fight. But, yeah, she's a gamer. So she's going to bring it, guaranteed. But it's a lot of pressure fighting in your hometown, so – so we'll see what happens. Well, not her hometown, but close enough.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So, well, we consider it all the...
Yeah, but, you know, man, like, you look back at it, and she's one of those people, like, she competes a lot. So she's, like, I think, like, she really looks at it, like, she just loves to compete, and she, like, when else are you going to get a chance to compete this close to home and do, like, do what you love, right? So I think she's really cherishing that, and it's going to be a wicked fight. Like, between both these girls are really, really talented. So
yeah, the juices will be flowing. The adrenaline will be high. No doubt about it. Out of the entire card, are there any couple, is there any fights that we should expect some stand up striking, just full on exchanges? I know that it's very hard to predict, and you know, it's, again, that's why it's so exciting to watch. It's a fight. But do you think there's two, is there one that jumps off the page that this is going to be an extremely exciting matchup?
I'm just looking through the card here right now. So from a grappler's point of view, Luke de St. Croix versus AJ Market is there's no question it's going to go to the ground probably instantly. Both of them love it, and they're both super good on the ground. So that's going to be, from my point of view, a really interesting fight. Hayden versus Brett Dewar. These are two big, big middleweights. So the middleweight, 185 pounders. So they'll probably both be 190, 200 pounds. One, you know, Hayden 6'3", Brett 6'1", and they're both really, really good. So that'll be a really high level amateur fight that I'm looking forward to. Irving and Cam, like Cam's known to just like Cam's a beast. He's coming forward. He wants to finish you. So, and Irving's the same. So that's a fight that, you know, they're probably going to meet in the middle. And, but who knows, man, like this game surprises me every card. I think this is going to happen and something else happens. So, I don't know, but yeah, they're all, you know, Maria brings it too. Like Maria, that like, don't anyone be fooled about those girls. Like Riley is really, really good, and Maria, like if anybody hasn't watched our past cards with her, like she's really, really good, getting better, and always comes, like she just comes to the fight. There's no quit or break or anything, and she hasn't fought in, like, FLA 3 was her last fight with us, so like last April. So it's her first. Yeah, so she's improved a ton, so I'm stoked to see that.
That's amazing. Well, listen, everybody who has the opportunity, Windsor, Nova Scotia, at the new arena, I do believe, that's just been put up, 7 p.m. start. So when will the doors open up, Derek, for people to go in and buy tickets at the door?
So 6 o'clock, the doors will open up. There'll be two lines as you get there. There'll be one line pre-purchase tickets on the right. And on the left, it'll be cash-only tickets, general seating. So we'll only have a super limited amount of those, probably 75, 80, 100, I don't know, until we sell out of those. And that'll be cash-only. So if you want to save 10 bucks, 60 bucks at the door, you'll save 10 bucks. Or if you're looking for tickets, I think there's like three tables left on the floor and about 20-some floor seats. And then, yeah, lots of generals online.
That's amazing. Well, listen. Everybody is excited. I'm really excited. I told Derek before it, my dad and I, we're getting into the MMA scene. We have heavily in the last few years, and we're really excited to watch it live. I've never experienced it, and I know that the Fight League Atlantic will put on a fantastic show. But Derek, we appreciate you coming on the Daily Intermission Podcast. We'll have you on again down the road. We love talking MMA on this thing, and listen, we're really excited for FLA 9. So we'll see you on Saturday night.
Man, keep killing it. You're awesome. Very good at what you do, man, and we certainly appreciate the platform and look forward to working with you in the future. Keep up the good work.